Blog Talk Radio.
What good is music? What good is melody? If it ain't possessing something sweet, it ain't the music. It ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is sing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. Just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Somebody asked me about the history of Yankee Doodle Dandy. So I promised them I would Google it and see what we come up with. And here's what we found. History and lyrics. This is from Wikipedia. The first verse and refrain is often sung today runs, Yankee Doodle went to town a-riding on a pony. He stuck a feather in his cap and called it macaroni. The song's origin is unclear. Tradition places its origin in the pre-Revolutionary War song, originally by British military officers to mock the disheveled, disorganized colonial Yankees with whom they served in the French and Indian War. It is believed that the tune comes from the nursery rhyme Lucy Locket. One version of the Yankee Doodle lyrics is generally attributed to a doctor named Richard Shuckburgh, a British Army surgeon. He wrote the song after seeing the appearance of the colonial troops under Colonel Thomas Fitch, the son of the Connecticut governor. As the term doodle first appeared in the 17th century, it's from the German, a doodle meaning fool or simpleton, and the macaroni wig was an extreme fashion in the 1770s. And became contemporary slang for foppishness. The implication of the verse was therefore probably that the Yankees were so unsophisticated that they thought simply sticking a feather in a cap would make them the height of fashion. And then they have early versions of the song. But the one that got me, which I'm going to read to you, is... It was reported that the British often marched to a version believed to be about a man named Thomas Ditson of Billerica, Massachusetts. Ditson was tarred and feathered for attempting to buy a musket in Boston in March 1775. So if you try to buy a musket in March and you were a colonialist, you were tarred and feathered by the British. And now you know why Americans believe staunchly in the right to bear arms. Turns out that Tommy Ditson showed up at Concord with a musket that he got from Home Depot. And the song that the British sang when they tarred and feathered Tommy Ditson was Yankee Doodle Came to Town for to Buy a Firelock. We will tar and feather him, and so we will John Hancock. So this was a real personal American Revolution. And for this reason, the town of Billerica claims to be the home of Yankee Doodle, and claims that at this point, the Americans embraced the song and made it their own, turning it back on those who had used it to mock them. After the Battle of Lexington and Concord, a British newspaper reported, upon their return to Boston, pursued by the Minutemen, one Briton asked his brother officer how he liked the tune now. Dang them, returned he. They made us dance it till we were tired. Since which, Yankee Doodle sounds less sweet to their ears. And the British responded with another set of lyrics following the Battle of Bunker Hill. The 17th of June, at break of day, the rebels, they surprised us with their strong works, which they'd thrown up to burn the town and drive us. And the one that I like is, also on February the 6th, 1788, Massachusetts ratified the Constitution by a vote of 186-68. To the ringing bells and the booming cannons, the delegates trooped out of Brattle Street Church before many days had passed, and the citizens sang their convention song to the tune of Yankee Doodle, and the lyrics they wrote were these. The Vention did in Boston meet. The State House could not hold them. So they went to Federal Street, and there the truth was told them. Listen to the next line. And every morning went to prayer, and then began disputing, till opposition silenced were by arguments refuting. Now politicians of all kinds, who are not yet decided, may see how Yankees speak their minds, and yet are not divided. Oh, if that was only true today, huh? But the communists have won major victories. Of the 45 goals of the Communist Party, they have achieved 40 of them. And here I end my federal song, composed of 13 verses. May agriculture flourish long, and commerce fill our purses. That's pretty good, huh? Okay, so that's it. After America gained its freedom from the yoke of the British Empire, they inspired many countries to revolt against their slave masters. And one of the countries was Ireland. But unfortunately, the Irish Sea was not as wide as the Atlantic Ocean. And the Brits took a loser general named Cornwallis and turned him into a winner in Ireland, and he went there and subdued the Irish people. So in 1798, when they rose up, they were put down, shamefully treated, as the song says. We were defeated and shamefully treated. And one of the heroes to come out of that Irish rebellion was had the handle, the Crappie Boy. And the reason they called him the Crappie Boy was that the revolutionaries in Ireland had copied the hairstyle from the revolutionaries in France, and they had a cropped haircut, so they therefore the handle the Crappie Boy. I equate the Crappie Boy with Nathan Hale, because Nathan Hale, and Nathan Hale was also betrayed by a cousin, and he was hanged by Lord Cornwallis, as was the Crappie Boy in 1798. So when you listen to this tune can be sung in America and in Ireland with the same fervor.
It was early, early, all in the spring. The birds did whistle and sweetly sing, changing their notes from tree to tree, and the song they sang was Old Ireland Free. It was early, early, all in the night. The yeoman cavalry gave me a fright. The yeoman cavalry were my downfall, and taken was I by Lord Cornwall. As I was walking up Wexford Hill, oh, who would blame me to cry my fill? I looked behind and I looked before, but my aged mother I shall see no more. As I was walking up Wexford Street, my own first cousin I chanced to meet. My own first cousin did me betray, and for one bare guinea sold my life away. As I was mounted on the platform high, my aged father was standing by. My aged father did me deny, and the name he gave me was the Crappie Boy. It was in Dungannon this young man died, and in Dungannon his body lies. So all good people who do pass by, just drop a tear for the Crappie Boy.
They just announced the Democrat strategy for spinning the fact that Obama didn't go to Arlington Cemetery. You know what? It's the old sinner's excuse. Everybody's doing it. Why did you do it? Because everybody was doing it. Yeah. And Mom used to say, if everybody was jumping off the roof, would you jump off the roof too? Yeah, Mom. Yeah, Mom, because I got to learn everything the hard way. But anyway, what they're saying is Obama bin Laden didn't go to Arlington Cemetery. Oh, by the way, God punished him. He tried to get him with a stroke, bolt of lightning today, but he missed. But there's always tomorrow, and the sun will come out tomorrow. We'll get Annie to sing. But he got rained out. He got rained out. That's the tears of all the veterans that are ashamed of him in heaven. That's what that is. So the communists tried to say, well, listen, he's not the first one that spit in the face of America. Jimmy Carter never went to Arlington Cemetery. Are you not talking about Jimmy Carter, the first communist president, are you? You're not talking about Jimmy Carter, that the celibate president who only lusted in his heart He was the Democrat that lusted in his heart, as opposed to President Pinocchio Pants, the Democrat who lusted in his pants. Yeah, oh, what a nation. What a nation. We are the nation, we the United Suckers of America. You can sell us anything. Yeah, I'll take two Brooklyn Bridges. Now you see the Turks are getting ready to turn against Israel, right? What happens if Israel strikes first? You know, they don't have to play by the suicide rule that's here in place in the United States. Oh, we'll take the first nuclear hit, and then we'll debate, and we'll have a committee, and the president will speak to the nation at 2 p.m. He'll do the Academy Awards. No, Israel's liable to say, look, it's oven time again, and too many people are pushing us to the door. It's time to strike first. Oh, they can't do that. That would be against the Geneva Convention if they fight for their lives. Oh, my friends, do not let these communists lead you into the lion's den at lunchtime. Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to our segment of how government service can make you feel fulfilled. We're doing an interview with the ex-president of the United States, who has always been in government service, and he has been fulfilled. That's President Clinton, and sir, we just wanted to know how you did in government service. Well, I made a nice salary. I was making $50,000 a year. And then I got made $75,000 a year as governor. And then I became president of the United States, and I was getting paid about $175,000. Oh, that's wonderful, Mr. President. I guess you accumulated a nice little nest egg with all of the years of government service. I'm sure you have, like, a moderate pension. So, yes, I have. I'm worth on the books $137 million. Not only that, I live quite comfortably. Sir, is it true that somebody gave you a house in Chappaqua, New York? Yes, my campaign manager bought me a house in Chappaqua. I said, isn't that amazing? You're a Democrat and you're a president, and Harry Truman was a Democrat and a president, and when he left office as an old man, he still had a mortgage on his house. Well, Harry wasn't. He also was a haberdasher, and he went out of business. I never go out of business. Yeah. And by the way, I just got my commission from the uranium sale from the president of Kazakhstan, and I introduced him to a buyer in Canada, and the. My commission was $31 million, and that's not bad for a little old country boy. Hey, sir, I wonder where that uranium is going to go. It's going to go from Kazakhstan to Canada to Iran? Oh, no, it won't go to Canada. It'll go directly to Iran. Won't your hands be soaked in the blood of a lot of dead Israelis? Oh no, my hands won't be soaked. I have a finger bowl. And not only dead Israelis, but I'm sure there's going to be no survivors in Palestine either once that first nuke goes off. Oh well, you always have you got to have collateral. I have collateral. I don't have any damages though. I also helped the Chinese get into outer space, and now my successor, Osama bin Laden, is keeping the Americans from getting to outer space. He's only worth $4 million, but he's got a way to go.
Come on, you young rebels, and list while I sing. For the love of one's country, is a terrible thing. It banishes fear with the speed of a flame, and it makes us all part of the patriot game. My name is O'Hanlon, and I'm just gone 16. My home is in Monaghan, where I was weaned. I've learned all my life cruel England to blame, and so I'm a part of the patriot game. It's barely 2 years since I wandered away with a local battalion of the bold IRA. I'd read about heroes, and I wanted the same to play off my part in the patriot game. This island of ours has for long been half free. 6 counties are under John Bull's tyranny. So I gave up my boyhood to drill and to train, to play my own part in the patriot game. And now as I lie here, my body all holds, I think of those traitors who bargained and sold. I wish that my rifle had given the same to those quislings who sold out the patriot game.
How's the Tea Party doing? Is it losing momentum, or is it getting stronger? I hope it's getting stronger, because what we have representing us is not representation whatsoever. It is absolutely a non-representative, and it is not a cross-section of the American people. We got too many millionaires in the House and the Senate, and we got too many lawyers. We don't need all these lawyers. We need worker bees. As a matter of fact, they had on down in Wall Street, a queen bee attached herself to a building, and thousands of bees immediately piled on. And I looked at my grandkids and I said, I wonder if any of them can spell. So, you know, spelling bees. Okay, so hang in a second, and we're going to give a cheer for the Tea Party.
Now that we've grown up and seen, you just keep ignoring me.
Peaches Pumpkin Pie. And don't you wish life could be that simple again? Huh? Don't you wish you could live in a community that didn't have gates and the only burglar alarm was on the bank? Don't you wish when you turned on the TV, your children didn't have to see a woman being cut from a throat to toe? Don't you wish when you turned on the TV, you didn't see a woman being sliced and diced and terrorized and stalked? How about vampire movies? How many vampire movies can you watch today? Now they're drinking milk. Unbelievable. It is. We're terrible. We have become Sodom and Gomorrah in 50 states. It is. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. So what I do is I take the pause that refreshes. I jump over to the History Channel to see what real Americans used to look like. And there they are. Any day of the week you go to the History Channel. 18-year-olds flying P-51s. 16-year-olds who lied about their age so they could go serve their country. All lightweight guys. There ain't a guy there over 155 pounds no matter how big he is. I exaggerate, but you know what I'm saying. You just take a look at them now. They all look like they assembled at Dunkin' Donuts. It's really sad. I mean, their buttons are popping on their uniforms. It's unbelievable. Now you look at those guys that were in the frozen winters of Belgium, that were in the sweaty jungles of Okinawa. And last night they showed a conscientious objector who was in the army. He refused to carry a gun, and his fellow soldiers considered him a coward. Now, he didn't go to Washington Square and do weed, cocaine, and LSD, and have STD sex and denounce his country and burn its flag. No. You know what he did? He took his Bible and he went to work. And where was work? Work was in Okinawa. He was in an Army Infantry Division that was also on Okinawa. And he was with a unit that got cut to pieces. They had come up a cliff on rope ladders. And when they got to the top of the cliff, the Japs were waiting for them, and they cut them to pieces. And they bayoneted and samurai sworded the wounded. And this guy, under fire, you have to see this movie. And it's not a movie, it's a testimonial, because it's attested to by all of the guys he saved. One guy who called him a coward, said he should be thrown out of the military. He saved his life. He saved 75 men, dragging them to the edge of the cliff and bringing them down a rope, a cargo net. 75 men. And you know what? They interviewed a Japanese guy that was in a cave, and the Japanese guy said every time he had him in sights, his gun would jam. This guy was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he was deeply religious. And he is a true conscientious objector. And one GI said, I got a 45. Why don't you take the 45 to protect yourself? He said, nope. He had his Bible. He had his Bible, and he saved 75 men. And his story will never be told in a communist cucumber school. And the kids of America will never learn about the valor and how valiant this man was. And sadly, I don't remember his name, but I loved watching that show. And you got to see the guys all crying as they describe them. Grown men with tears running down their cheeks. Not sobbing hysterically, just the flow of tears while the guy is telling the story. So America owes a debt of gratitude, and he's up there with Nathan Hale. He should get the Nathan Hale Award. And he had 17 pieces of shrapnel in his body. He lost his hearing, because they gave him antibiotics to fight off infection, and it affected his hearing. And I think he lost a leg as he got older. And there he is, he's sitting on a farm, and he's in the back, he's got a little picnic table where he has his coffee, and he catches the daily breeze. And he's a real American, the kind that we need more of. So we got to do a tribute to that unsung hero. 75 guys he brought down under fire. One guy said he saw him, he said he was a little guy and he was carrying two guys at once. And you got people that will watch a woman get stabbed to death in a hall and not even call the cops. Oh, I forgot to mention, he was a country boy. You know, one of those hicks, uneducated. Yeah.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will draw them all. I'm all your smile.
Oh,
I found that hero's name. His name is Desmond Doss, D-O-S-S. 17 shrapnel wounds, all 17 pieces of shrapnel still in his body. And that's the price he paid so that Anthony Weiner could vote to burn the flag. And speaking of flag burners, I'm watching President Hussein, and he is announcing that he is going to come down hard on British Petroleum. But he's not going to come down hard on Osama bin Laden, and he knows where he is. He knows where he is. You can rest assured that intelligence, our great intelligence community, knows where bin Laden is. At this point, it's not a question of where is he. It's when is Obama going to get Osama? Yeah, so President Hussein is waging war against British Petroleum. And I'm asking myself, and I'm going to Google and see if I can get an answer. I'm asking myself, of the 3,500 oil rigs that are out in the Gulf, how many of them are American-owned, and how much of that oil is coming to the United States? Interesting question, isn't it? I think it is. So he's going after British Petroleum, and of course he's going to do the most, he's going to wield his heaviest weapon, the appointing of a committee and a 2 o'clock a press conference. Every time I turn on the TV, this guy's on telling us that he signed another executive order. I think I'm going to start using that routine. Or when the newspaper boy comes, I'm going to sign an executive order that says he has to get the paper to the doorstep. when he looks for his tip, I'll give him an executive order. So he signed an executive order. And guess who he's putting in charge of this commission? He's putting Senator Bob Graham. You know who Senator Bob Graham is? Yeah. He's the most incompetent senator in the history of Congress. Do you know that he was on the Military Intelligence Committee, and he was the chairman, and he voted to burn the flag? Did you know that? And he votes to kill kids. What a powerful man. Yep, so he's going to appoint Senator Bob Graham. I have a picture of a woman in a burqa that looks just like Senator Bob Graham, and she's got her hands up in the air, and they're frisking her. And I say, I put a caption underneath, a Bob Graham caption in Iran. Oh, man. What a sad state of affairs. And you know what Bob Graham's famous fighting words are? You ready for this? He was the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, the Military Intelligence Committee. Voted to burn the American flag 40 days before 9/11. And Senator Bob Graham, his famous fighting words are, "What did Bush know and when did he know it?" And my famous fighting words are, "What did Bob Graham know and what did he and when did he know it?" He knew nothing. And now they're going to put him in charge of something else. I was hoping they would put Henry Waxman, because at least we could see the committee in bathing suits, and Henry wearing his famous two-piece bathing suit. Oil Can Henry, I call him. He's the enemy of Mighty Mouse. He's also the baseball commissioner. He indicted Lenny Dykstra for stealing second base. And now he's in charge of General Motors too, I think. He's a commissar. He's one of they say they have czars, but they're all communist czars. So you got to call them commie czars. Bartender, champagne. All these communist liberals who vote to kill kids, full-term babies, pulling them from limb to limb. You think they'd get a little religion, or they would get the rhythm of life?
Da And he started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
And suddenly a voice said, "Go forth, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen."
And the voice said, "Daddy, there's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your coming law white. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life."
And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street. Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. Puts a tingle in your fingers and a tingle.
The gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge,
flew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built a present operation down below, with the fire pipe blowing while the mustard tail was flowing, all the cats were bubble going down below. Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built a present operation down below, with the fire pipe blowing all the mustard tail was flowing.
Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Flip your wings and fly to Daddy. Fly, fly, fly to Daddy.
Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Take a dive and swim to Daddy. Swim, swim, swim to Daddy. Hit the floor and crawl to Daddy.
Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street.
Yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. With a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet.
Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street.
Yes, the rhythm of life has a powerful beat.
So when the leftists ask, as the buildings are coming down on 911, why do they hate us? The question is, why do you hate us? When I read about combat zones and battle drills, I always look for ethnic heroes.
Yep.
My own kind, Irish. But any ethnic hero. I ran across a Mexican who was at the Battle of the Bulge, who killed over 100 Germans. Let me get his name so I give him proper credit. Hold on. His name is Jose Lopez. He was from San Antonio, Texas. He is a Texicano, a Mexican-American. I look for black guys. I found one that really surprised me. I was looking up, you know, I don't like Lindsey Graham. I think Lindsey Graham will sell out his party in a heartbeat. He is an internationalist. He won't tell you that, but he's an internationalist sympathizer. He would like to try troops in The Hague. I don't trust him, especially as a JAG lawyer with the lives of privates in his hands. I don't trust Lindsey Graham. So I often say he's no Francis Marion. Francis Marion was a South Carolinian who was a Revolutionary War hero. He was known as the Swamp Fox because he would fight the Brits and head into the swamps where they wouldn't dare chase him. So I came across a painting of, I believe it was Francis Marion, and there were three rebels on horseback. Two were white and one was black. And they were fighting two British officers on horseback, and the black guy, who was probably somebody's servant, had a pistol, and he shot one of the Brits. And I said, that's great. I love it. So I'm always looking for ethnic heroes, because the more we have in common, the closer we become. And if we all united to get rid of drugs, this would be a happy world. Our world would be happy. The rest of the world would still have a Jones. So I'm looking for a picture of the hero in the movie that was played by Danny Glover, Bat 21. And Gene Hackman was in the movie, and if you remember the movie, Gene Hackman was a pilot. He got shot down. He's escaping. He's evading the Viet Cong. Danny Glover comes for him every night to give him consolation and tell him, we're going to get you out of here. And I think Danny Glover gets shot down, and the two of them are on the ground making a run for it. And the real story is they became real good friends. So I said, that's great, you know. So I said, let me find out the real name of the guy that Danny Glover played. Now, I got to tell you, I have no love for Danny Glover. To me, he's a communist. He hates this country. He staged a taxicab incident in New York where he played the race card and said they wouldn't stop for him because he was black. And as a result of him putting political pressure on the Taxi and Limousine Commission, the Taxi and Limousine Commission ordered all cab drivers to pick up people who fit a criminal profile and take them to high crime areas under the pain of losing their hack license. So if you're a Dominican who knows what a bad guy looks like because you probably live in the same neighborhood, and you're being ordered to bring somebody in the middle of the night who's going to try and rob you into that neighborhood or lose your hack license, and you've got looking at your five kids and your wife, and you're trying to work your way into a better life, you're going to go along for the ride. And five of them died as a result of Danny Glover's race card playing. And if you Google it and you check it out, you'll find out. And they were all Dominicans, and they were all shot in the back of the head or gunned down and robbed. And some of them were robbed for like $20, $30. And their lives are over, and their five kids went hungry. And their wife was totally heartbroken and had to support. She lost half the family. And Danny Glover did it by opening his mouth. And then the next time you see Danny Glover, he's having his picture taken with Hugo Chavez. Okay, the new Fidel Castro. Or he's having his picture taken with Fidel Castro, who, by the way, is worth at least $670 million. So you see, communism is good business. And communism for Hugo El Stinko Chavez will be good business, too. I'm sure he will surpass Castro's $670 million. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, he gave the Russians $5 billion in orders for AK-47s. What's that to do? To protect his people or to protect him from his people? Yeah, communism pays off. It's good. Politics pays off. How does a president make $137 million when the job only pays $200,000? Oh, he was a good investor. Yeah. Investing in what? uranium from Kazakhstan to be shipped to Iran? Oh, no, it's not being shipped to Iran. It's being shipped to Canada. Yeah, and then what? It changes papers? It gets a new mother and father? Hang in there. So I'm looking for here ethnic heroes, and I Googled Pat Norris, who was the real Bat at 21. And I scroll down, and they got photos of this guy getting the Congressional Medal of Honor. And he looks as Irish as Patty's pig. He's white. And I said to myself, oh, no. How can you do this? How can Hollywood mislead people to think, to let you think that Bat 21 was black when he was white? Would they do that if the reverse was true? No way. So I felt cheated, and I said there's a lot of Americans walking around after seeing that movie that think that Bat 21 was black. Had he been black, it would have been I have no problem with that. God bless him. I love him. I got pictures of blacks in prayer with whites. There's more blacks there than white guys on the battlefield. You go to my website, you'll see. The only race that I believe in is the Kentucky Derby. Yeah, unbelievable. But it gets worse. And this is why America is a brainwashed nation. You remember 9-1-1. You remember not a plane in the sky. You remember the night of a beautiful day, 9-1-1. 343 dead firemen. 3,000 dead Americans, including 200 babies that were murdered in the womb. And that night, the smoke was, a Holocaust smoke was rising in the sky. Not a plane in the sky. Everybody was waiting for Osama bin Laden's other shoe to drop. We didn't know what was coming next. We couldn't believe it was just four planes. Okay? We figured this guy was on an offensive. And let's face it, we were all kind of concerned. And Pampa sales were up. So, during the resurrection of 9-1-1, and it's still being resurrected 9 years later, a mosque will go up faster than the World Trade Center towers. During the resurrection of 9-1-1, there wasn't an American flag to be found, according to the story I was told. And three firemen went down to the boatyard and took one off a boat. And then they came back to the site and they raised the flag. And the photo was taken that's now a postage stamp. And it was like of the firemen's Iwo Jima. And I got to tell you, one of the firemen in that photo, his mother approached him to have his picture taken with Hillary Clinton, and he said, Ma, stay out of it. So he never had his picture taken, and who would? Who would? Her husband gave us 9-1-1. I call them the Clinton Towers. So here is everybody's looking for a symbol of 9-1-1. I say the stamp that should be circulated throughout the land is the people trapped on the 80th floor. That's the stamp I want to see. And I want to see the caption underneath, a New York saying, 9-1-1, we forget nothing. That's the stamp I want to see. So here's what the left did. They said, we're going to commission the three-man Iwo Jima type of scenario. And they had one white, one Latino, and one black guy, when the three originals, the Rembrandts, were all white. And I'm going to tell you something. That's racist. That's forced racism. That's to divide people. Because I'll tell you what they could have done. The day after 9-1-1, on the front page of the Daily News was a photo of a fire truck going through the Battery Tunnel And behind the battery tunnel, you could see the towers on fire. And everybody on that truck that went into that tunnel went into the World Trade Center, and they all died together. There were blacks, there were Irish, there were Latinos. Vernon Cherry was one of them. He was black. Faustino Apostol was one of them. He's on a flag in my church. He's Latino. A guy named Davidson was one of them. He was Irish. They didn't have to create false racism when they had the real McCoy. They had the real thing in that engine, in that fire engine, with a crew of multiracial firemen. But they wouldn't do it. They wanted to give us the communist version of 911. And that's why you got to watch out. If it wasn't for Fox News, you wouldn't have any real information today. You wouldn't be getting the truth. You can't get the truth anywhere else. You can't get it from Reuters. You can't get it from the Associated Press. They all hate this country. You can't get it from UN reports. The UN hates this country. The UN hates Israel and the United States. Why we even waste a dime at the UN, I have no idea. I'd be cutting a lot of budgets, man. You make me president, I'll balance the budget in 1 year. There's going to be a lot of people out of work, but I'm going to help them all get jobs. But they ain't going to keep the one they've been milking.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues away, let all that grieve partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Ah, 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 ah. Author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. From every mountainside, let freedom ring, ring.
When I seen President Hussein speaking to the captives today, I said to myself, well, there's four states I know he's already lost. So he's lost 4 out of 50, and he hasn't even started recampaigning yet. Or is he recampaigning? He's lost. Number one state he lost is Arizona. He completely turned off Arizona. He's lost 5 states. Arizona, Louisiana, Texas, New Mexico, and Israel. Oh, man. I can't believe it. I can't believe that this guy is self-destructing at such a rapid pace. And one thing about Democrats, they're like lemmings. When one goes over the cliff, they all go over the cliff. They go over en masse. You know who's a great stand-up guy? And he's dauntless. He stands up in the front of adversity right in his face is David Horowitz. And he doesn't get enough exposure. David Horowitz was born into a communist family. We'll tell you all about it. He'll tell you how he also was a communist, and he changed when he saw the true colors of communism. And now he's a staunch anti-communist, and there's no greater adversary against the threats of communism than David Horowitz. And he needs to get more exposure. I don't know why Fox doesn't have him on more. And I'll tell you, a liberal that I like is Pat Goodell. Pat Goodell is not a proctologist, but a practologist. And he tells it like it is. He'll tell you when the Democrats are doing wrong, and he'll tell you when the Republicans are doing wrong. And I value his opinion. Of course, I do also value Dick Morris, and that's because he's lived with the enemy and has sinned with the enemy. So it takes one to know one, right? The tide of public opinion is what I'm worried about. The tide of public opinion is going to turn against Israel. Following President Hussein's betrayal of Israel, and he did. He threw them under the bus as sure as George Bush threw Donald Rumsfeld under the bus. And Donald Rumsfeld is a man among men. And never once did he say, ouch. Never once did he say, I was wrong. I serve at the pleasure of my president, and when my president is not pleased with me and throws me under the bus, I accept that. You got to give Rumsfeld credit. No book. What was that little press release bastard that double-crossed Bush? What was his name? Mick something? Little Worm, right? Sold Bush right out. Yeah, I think if you look at the picture of the Last Supper, he's the one that looks just like Judas. Yeah, he's the only one in a suit. Yeah, so the tide of public opinion will turn against Israel following President Hussein's betrayal of Israel. Her closest enemies were emboldened. Today it is Turkey. Tomorrow it will be France with a new list of names for the Gestapo. Jackals always rally around the kill when they sense weakness. Do not be surprised if you hear the increasingly popular public statement. If Israel was not there, we would have peace in the Middle East. Sadly, liberal World Club Americans who voted for President Hussein believe that they will be allowed to keep their luggage when they have to board the cattle cars. Never forget Osama, not Obama, has said, all American taxpayers are Jews. He also said the USA is an illusion of power, a giant warship that will not see the dinghy bobbing in the waves that will sink it. And today I wondered, watching the Israelis board that Turkish ship and being piped aboard, today I wondered how Admiral Lemon would have boarded that Turkish ship to check for Iranian suitcase nukes. Islam and the Muslim world has the advantage. They can fund many armies up to $70 a jihad barrel, and that's up from $10 a barrel in November of 1998. And they also have 2,800 potential nuclear ammo dumps in the United States called mosques. Mexican border jumping visas, via con Allah, just follow the drug routes anywhere, USA. When all else fails, ask Eric Holder to transfer Gitmo to Louisiana. Why not? They're dumping on Louisiana everything else. And never forget, Katrina was not Bush's fault. The fault for New Orleans lied with its mayor, Mayor Chocolate, and its governor, Governor Whiteout. What was her name, Blanco? Yeah. Unbelievable. My question today is, out of that 7-inch hole is coming a lot of oil. Did you ever see so much oil? I wonder, was that American oil going to Europe? More tea, anybody? One nation under God, not under guard or house arrest.
Free from black gold, our love never can be. Once we lived in a shack, black gold. And this girl loved me back, loved me more, more than black gold. I was caught in her web, just like the spider captures the fly, and I knew what is more I must leave her or die. Marina mine, set me free. From black gold, blowing wild, blowing
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party, the Spirit of America Party book, and the Spirit of America Party radio show, courtesy of Blog Talk Radio. You know the story about the Victory Mosque down at No Liberty Plaza. Do you know that the Community Board 1 voted unanimously, 29-0, to erect, to allow the Muslims to build the Victory Mosque, 2 blocks from where Americans were crushed and pummeled to death by 19 Muslims. So, not one dissenting vote. They voted unanimously. Unbelievable. And you know who's responsible for it? Mayor Bloomingdale. Mayor Bloomingdale appointed the head of Community Board 1. She is directly owes her job to him. All he had to do was pick up the phone and say, don't let this happen. And she would have followed his instructions. But his instructions must be, in my opinion, I have no bone to pick with that. We have to move on. That's what he said when they asked him about where are the towers? When are they going to be rebuilt? Do you know when they show a skyline of New York now? They show the 1929 skyline. Do you know that? Sylvester Stallone's got a movie where they're all trapped in the Battery Tunnel. I think it's supposed to be Muslim terrorists blow up the tunnel. And don't give me this good Muslim, bad Muslim stuff. My friends, Islam is the religion of jihad. Conversions are made through conquest. Jihad is not a Gaelic name. A jihad is an Arab name. It means holy war. whether they are just funding the money to kill you, or they are taking up the knife and sword to kill you, or the anthrax, or the smallpox, or the nuke. This is a Muslim holy war against the infidel. And those 29 board members of Community Board 1 will be the first to be have their throats cut because they're the wrong religion. So, a guy comes into my place today, and I recall him from a couple of years after 9-1-1. And he's got a T-shirt on that says Helicopter Pilots Association. I say to him, "You're a helicopter pilot?" He goes, "Yeah." And it comes back to me the last time I talked to him. I think. I might be wrong. And I didn't ask him about it. But I think he was one of the police helicopters that witnessed, how all those people were trapped up on the top of the World Trade Center. I might be wrong, but I think he was a witness to it. I think he was one of the choppers. But anyway, and it always bothers me that there was nothing we could do to save those people. Nothing. It's really sad. We were not prepared at all. We were not prepared at all. We were so wide open, it was ridiculous. But anyway, I said to him, and I said, "What do you think about this mosque going up near the World Trade Center?" "Well, man, I'll tell you." He started out very nice and calm and polite, and when he left, he says, "I got to go home now, and I got to relax because you got me all excited." And he carried on, and you know what he started out with? He started out with Community Board 1 and the people that are on that board and the ilk that they are. They're the same board that probably complained there was too much DNA dust on their windowsills and wanted to know when the EPA was going to clean it up. They're all sellouts. They are 9-10 New Yorkers, and they blame the United States on 9-11. They're all communist sellouts. They're as much a New Yorker as a New York rat. Or as we call them, squirrels. Big city squirrels. Unbelievable. Well, this guy started ranting and raving, and he went on, and he went on. And then he started to curse a Supreme Court judge named Nicholas, and I can't remember, he had I think he spelled it G-U-A-R-I-U-S, who just ruled that the New York City Fire Department test was unconstitutional, and he has ruled that the test is not cannot the awards for the people who passed the test cannot be given, and he wants a new test. And the reason was there weren't enough blacks and Latinos in the test. It was 90% white, and it was 10% blacks and Latinos. So he ruled that it was discrimination. The judge, according to my friend, was appointed by Bill Clinton. Okay? And he was saying, "Oh, everybody gets to watch the Supreme Court judges being selected. But all these other judges that are undermining the country, they're all handpicked by the Communist Party, which is now the Democrat Party. My friends, if you're a Democrat, you're a communist. There's no two ways about it. You are a communist. You're anti-American. If you're a Democrat, you're against America winning anything. You are no longer a Democrat. You are not the Democrat that Harry Truman was born into. You are the Democrat that Joseph Stalin liked. You're part of the Rosenberg clan. You're selling out your country under the guise of togetherness. You know what's going to happen with togetherness? A civil war. That's what's coming. and we're all going to be up the fat lady's burka. And that Victory Mosque should not be allowed to be built. And it's going to be real sad. These Muslims are going to turn Americans against Americans. That's their goal. It's a religion of war. And they're at war with us, and we don't know it. And you know what feeds jihad? Treasuries? Oil money. You see all the oil that's being pumped out of that one little hole down in the off of Louisiana in the Gulf of Mexico? You see how much oil is coming out of that one little hole? We got all the oil we need. We don't need any Arab oil. The price of oil should be $9.11 a barrel. You want to stop jihad, you got to dry up the source of funds. And oil from the Arab countries is a source of funds for jihad. $9.11 a barrel, that should be the national goal. We got plenty of oil, we don't need theirs. Don't buy the lie. You buy the lie, you're going to be paying for your own suicide watch. That's one little hole in the ground, 7 inches. And look at all the oil that's coming up. We got plenty of oil right here in the backyard. Arnold Schwarzenegger could pay his state's debt tomorrow if he uncapped the oil wells in California. But he'd rather the people of Nebraska pick up the tab because they pay as they go. So California is getting welfare from Nebraska. So this guy was upset. And he says, I was looking up a park for a minute, and he goes, you know what, while you're looking, I want to go out to my car. I want to show you this newspaper clipping, what they just did to the fire department. And I said, you know what's sad? You know what's really sad? This Anthony Weiner, he voted to let the American flag burn. He was one of 135 congressmen who voted to let the American flag burn. It was called the Flag Desecration Act. They were going to make it a federal crime to burn an American flag. And you see that they're not burning American flags lately. You know why? Because they're going to wait until they're strong. Then they're going to burn them all the time. So I said, you know, this Anthony Weiner voted to let the American flag burn, and he was endorsed by the New York City Fire Department. And they carry 343 flags in every parade, representing 343 firemen who gave up their lives, who stayed behind to help helpless people and try and get them out of the building. 343 American flags, and they endorsed a bastard who voted to let it burn. Unbelievable. So he goes out to his vehicle and he comes back with the newspaper article. You know how big the newspaper article was? Twice the size of a postage stamp. How quietly they stiffed everybody. It must have been on the back page. And they didn't even mention the judge's name. And I says, you know, when somebody does us harm, the papers never announce who the culprit is. They never announced the judge, his background, where he came from, how many Communist Party groups he's affiliated with, how many anti-religious groups he's affiliated with, how many hookers he keeps in the back room. You never know. All they tell you is, the judge ruled. I want to know who the judge is. And the New York Times, it's time that the entire newspaper got indicted for treason. And let Pinchy Sulzberger explain in court why he double-crosses troops in the field. Somebody's got to call him out. And Republicans, don't wait till you're in office to do it. You're in office now. Don't wait till you have a majority. Do it now. Stand up. Stop hiding under the desk. And don't think you're getting a pass either. If the Democrats are all gone, that party is finished. That party is over. There's only one party left, and that party's going to be split in two. So So you better stand up now and be counted, or else you're going to be trampled in November. So the Times went and made a big atrocity about Abu Ghraib when they had the panty raids. And Bush let American soldiers go to jail. And he never pardoned them. He never cut them a break. He never pardoned the border guards. And that's Bush's legacy. He's done some great things. I'll tell you the one greatest thing he did. He gave us two conservative Supreme Court judges, and that's the only thing. The United States is hanging by a judicial thread. The House, the Senate, and the Al-Qaeda presidency has total control. The only thing that's keeping us from being slaves are two conservative judges. The balance of power of the entire United States is in the hands of two conservative judges. And you better pray that they don't meet with a Soviet accident. So, in memory of the Abu Ghraib atrocities, I'm going to play you the Abu Ghraib song. I'm watching Fox and I'm reading underneath. You ever read the bylines? The bylines are more important than the news because it only comes by once. And usually when it's a hot byline, you read up to the point where you almost have the answers to your questions and they go to a commercial and then when you come back it's a new byline. But I got to tell you,
The byline that I just read was, Senator Nelson has come out. He's from Florida, and he's upset about the oil spill. And he also will come out in favor of lifting the ban known as Don't Ask or Don't Tell, the ban on the gays in the military. And he says it's because it encourages deceit. You know what my answer to Senator Nelson is? Why don't you stop being deceptive? Why don't you tell the American people what you really think about them? Why don't you tell all of the GIs that service that you vow to protect? This is the only astronaut spelled with two S's, this guy. Do you know why they won't let him go to the moon anymore? Because they're afraid that if he gets on the moon, even without oxygen, he'll find a way to burn the American flag, because Senator Nelson voted to let it burn. When the Flag Desecration Act came up, it lost by one vote. You know whose vote it was? Senator Nelson's. Senator Nelson, who blocked the door to Terri Schiavo's room. The woman was the only witness to her own murder, and they killed her because she was the only witness to her murder. Terri Schiavo, brave Senator Nelson, he stood there and said, pull the feeding tube, along with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Yeah, never trust a woman who's named after a VD test. Senator Moran, I'm pretty sure he was there. All real snakes in the grass. All flag burners and baby killers. Oh yeah, Senator Nelson. I call him Bayonet Babies, Bonsai Nelson, because he votes to kill full-term children. They don't call it that. They call it terminating the fetus. Yeah, and the population of Europe was addressed by Adolf Hitler as the final solution. Yeah, terminating the fetus. It's not really a human being. No, I tell you what, you take that fetus home and you nurse it, I bet you inside of 2 years it says mama. Yeah, oh man, are we sick or what? But listen, Nelson isn't finished, and I'm not finished with Nelson. This man will do nothing but hurt America, and Florida likes to send its own they like to elect their own assassins. All those senior citizens down there, Nelson will get them too. And if you don't believe me, here's what you do. You Google, Senator Nelson goes to Syria. Senator Nelson meets with Bashar al-Assad. And see what comes up. I'll tell you what's going to come up. You're going to see two seats in a room in front of a nice Ottoman table. And on the left side sits Senator Nelson. And on the right side sits the biggest IED distributor responsible for the murder of the Prime Minister of Lebanon, responsible for the murder of thousands of Jews, responsible for the murder and maiming of 4,500, at least 4,500 Americans and thousands of Iraqis. The IED distributor, who now makes the bombs with Iranian copper lugs because they're more effective. Yes, he's an importer and an exporter. And there was Senator Nelson sitting next to Bashar al-Assad, the mad bomber of Syria. And guess what he was doing there? What do you think he was doing there? He was playing a Bible story. He was the precursor of Nancy Pelosi. He was like John the Bastard. Yeah, he was setting up a meeting that took place the following month with Nancy Pelosi, who was back home screaming she needed a bigger jumbo jet, because she was going to take her entourage to Syria. Tom Lantos, Dennis Kucinich, who got off the back of the plane, didn't want his picture taken. Right? All these little quislings, all these sellouts. She was the sneaker of the house. And Bush asked her not to go, and she gave Bush the finger. And she went, and she sat in the same seat for the same photo that Jimmy Carter sat in and that Bill Nelson sat in when he warmed the seat up for her tuchus. And there she was. And you know what she did? You know what they both did? You know what they asked the Syrian president to do? Could you please close the palace windows because the screams of the Americans having their legs blown off is very disturbing to us. Now, they didn't say that, but let me tell you. They were that close. You think about that. And when you see Bill Nelson out there, he's hurting you. Anything that man is for, you better be against. I sent out a blog today, an email. I call them tickles, and where I invite people to listen to my radio show. And those two people show up every night. But I sent out one that would really raise eyebrows, and it was entitled, Are You Ready for the Next President of the United States? And when you open up the email, it's Joe Biden's picture, who could very well be the next president of the United States. And the reason I give is that if Obama can't produce papers, eventually he's going to be forced into a situation where he has to stand and deliver. And if it turns out that he doesn't have papers and he's not an American citizen, legally, according to the Constitution, he has to resign. Oh, and there's going to be a lot of race cards played, and there's going to be a lot of threats of riots, and we have to go along to get along. It ain't going to happen, my friends. They're going to want him out. And you'll have the beginnings of a civil war if you're not careful. Already in the military, officers are refusing to take assignments until they see Obama's papers. They want to know that their commander-in-chief is bona fide American. And so do we. And we all want to know. Let's get the truth out there. I'm not taking O'Reilly's word for it. And I'm worried about O'Reilly. I think he's going soft. Maybe he was always soft. I think he's trying to inch his way over to the left so that he can be in contrast with Glenn Beck, who's now taken over Fox. He's now the number one man on Fox. I have to go to school every night and to the Glenn Beck School of Americanism. And that's great. I love it. Hang in there. While we're all being tarred and feathered in the Gulf of Mexico, our president is concentrating on the most important part of our military preparedness, and he's going to make a don't ask, don't tell. He's going to have it repealed. So no longer will you hear quotations like, if you think I'm cute, please don't salute. And I have two questions. One, do you know when a Republican who has an alternate lifestyle exposes himself, do you know what they call that? They call that coming out of the closet. Do you know when a Democrat has an alternate lifestyle, do you know what they call that, and he declares himself? They call that coming out of the hamper. I'm going to give you two stories about homosexuals in the military. You're not going to like either one of them, but I'm going to tell them to you anyway. My next door neighbor served in the Marines. He gets a medical compensation package because when he was on active duty, he was jumped by three rogue Marines who were AWOL, and they beat him into unconsciousness, and they ruptured his spleen. So he gets compensation for a ruptured spleen. When he was on guard duty, he told me this. He was off duty. He was laying in his bunk, and a lieutenant came in and said, get your 45 and come with me. So he got his 45 and he went with the lieutenant, and the two of them kicked the door open, and there were two guys having sex. And he arrested both of them. They arrested both of them, and they went to the brig. And that's the consequences of homosexuality in the military. That's one of the problems. God knows we got enough problems as it is, okay? But we're talking about the homosexual problem. The question came up, who's going to pay for all the AIDS cases? Now, I want to tell you my story. And my story is that when I signed up for the draft, rather than be called at 26 years old, which is the average age of my neighborhood, I pushed up my draft and I was called at 18, right out of high school. And they give you a test. And, you know, the test in World War II, the psychological test consisted of about one sentence, a question. So, do you like girls? That was the entire psychological test. When I went, I took my test. As a result of the marks I got on my test, I was given an MOS of 113. 113 is military operations and intelligence. And all my friends used to laugh at me. What's so intelligent about you? And they were right. So when we got to, after basic training, advanced infantry training, we were shipped to Germany. When I got to Germany, they looked at my MOS and they sent me to headquarters company into the office of a major. And he was a tough old World War II type major. And he looked at me and he goes, and I was the most honest, naive guy you'd ever want to meet. He looked at me and he said, can you type? And I said, no. But I could type a little, but I didn't think it meant, I really didn't believe I was qualified to type. He said, can you drive a Jeep? I said, no. He said, get this guy out of my sight. And they sent me back over to the 4th Platoon in D Company. And I always felt bad that I didn't do what most New Yorkers would do, and that's say, yeah, I can type. Yeah, I can drive a Jeep. And then when you get in it, you learn, and they got to live with you. So I always felt bad that I didn't get a chance to be in operations and intelligence and headquarters company. And I think I would have done good. So what's that got to do with homosexuality? There's a guy in my company, a big, tough, rough, tough Texan. And his name was Tex. And he's one of the, and he was, I'm telling you, this guy was a fullback material, rough and tough. So, it turns out that there is a driver over at headquarters company, and Tex is having a sexual relationship with him. And it's bothering this driver, who's sort of small. And he goes to the military chaplain, the Catholic chaplain on the base, and he says, "Father, I'm in an immoral relationship, and I'm trying to get out of it, and I can't. This guy won't let me go." So the chaplain goes to the battalion commander. And they transfer, okay? This is sort of like the pedophile priest thing. They transfer, okay? They want to protect the victim, and they don't want to make a court-martial case out of it. So they transfer Tex to 35th Armor, which is across a parade quadrangle. And what do you think they do? They put Tex on guard duty as soon as he gets there, and they give him a loaded 45. Tex goes over to headquarters company, and he walks into the room of his lover, and he points the gun at him, and another GI jumps out of his bunk and is running towards the door to get out of the, to escape, and he grabs him by the shirt and puts two slugs in the back of his head, and then he kills his lover, and then he sits down. And he starts crying. And this is the middle of the winter. And they have to evacuate headquarters company. And all the guys are out in front of the building in their underwear screaming, kill that son of a bitch. Okay? And his platoon sergeant from D Company went over there and disarmed him. How would you like to be that platoon sergeant that had to go in and disarm him? You know what they try to do? They try to bring them out with tear gas, but every locker has a gas mask. And the big joke was that he sat around and smoked cigarettes. But Tex went away for life, and two guys died. And you know what? You wonder. Sometimes you think you got a bad break. Maybe God saved your life. Maybe God gave you a pass. I would have been that guy in that bunk. So, those are two stories that shouldn't be told by anybody to anybody. And that's what we don't need in our military. We have enough corruption in our own government. We do have corruption in the military. We don't need any more. We should be trying to clean our acts up. And no good will come of Congress making everybody wear earrings. And that's all I'm going to say about that subject. But it has consequences, and they're a lot deeper and darker than you can imagine. And I can imagine. And I think that my Marine buddy told me that the court-martial sentences for those two guys, the guy on top got more time than the guy on the bottom. You think about that. And you know, adultery is a court-martial offense in the military. That's why Clinton dodged the draft. If you watch the Tudors, you will see that there's an execution that takes place from time to time, and when the axeman comes to chop your head off, he distracts you before he swings the blade. So he makes you look the other way so you don't see the blade coming that takes your head off. And that's what's happening to us in the United States. We are being, our focus is being diverted on silly crap, and the real issues are, our real liberties are being stolen away from us. We are in trouble. We are more divided today than ever before. And there are people in this country that intend to metastasize that division. And it's going to get mean, and it's going to get bloody, and it's going to get dirty. And we're going to be taught to play on level 1 while the enemy is playing on level 10. And you just think about how we've been conditioned to accept the fact that Islam is at war with us, and they tell us that it's only a small percentage. Nobody knows what that percentage is. And the last expert on Islam, the best expert on Islam that's an American, knows nothing. If you're not a Muslim, you have no idea how Islam thinks. None whatsoever. And all of these so-called experts. Why? Because they had some Joiva Halva. They had some Baba Anoush. They had some hummus. They're all Islamic experts. I told you about my friends in business in Kuwait. We were outside the CNN booth, news booth, and we had a trade show. One was a Muslim from Lebanon. The other was a Christian, originally from Lebanon, but he was driven out because of his faith. Oh, yeah, that goes on. And that'll go on here. There's 2,800 mosques. There's 2,800 Arabian National Guard units here already. Yeah, we're in trouble, my friends. Yeah, salam alaikum. When they say salam alaikum, you better watch out for the knife. That's why they pat each other down when they hug and kiss. They know their religion. You don't. You have no idea how the Middle Eastern mind works. Absolutely none whatsoever. Yes, there are good Muslims, but you know what? I'll say there are good Arabs. I won't say they're good Muslims. I'll say that there are good Arabs. I happen to like the Bedouin. And the Bedouin is considered to be less of a citizen. But they call them Bedouin. But I like the Bedouin. They're simple. They're real tribal. But I would take my chances with a Bedouin over some of the other Arabs that I've met. These terrorists can change their modus operandi real quick. They can do it on the fly. Right now you're watching botched explosions. But you may see a day come in this country when you'll see targeted assassinations one-on-one. Just like they did to Van Gogh in Holland. Like they did to Maya Kahani in Brooklyn. When are we going to wake up? First off, if I was president of the United States, hold on, let me get my presidential gear out. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Whoa, can't we do it with a little bit of a Latin twist? Let's take it from the top. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Fellow Americans, guess what? The borders are closed. Yep, I became your president at exactly 3:30 this afternoon, and the borders were closed by 4. Isn't it wonderful? And now Arizona can go back to sleeping safe and sound. Oh, we have an oil spill, and of course the last president left me a mess. He left me a bad economy. He left me a disabled military. He left me a whole bunch of lemons, including the House and the Senate. And so I've decided to cut expenses and balance the budget, and I've laid off the House and the Senate. I will now run all three branches of government, and I may put myself on the Supreme Court. I know it's unconstitutional. By the time the lawyers get it into the courts, we'll have accomplished the mission. We're going to start the cleanup that Obama left, the mess that what's his name, BP, the British oil spill, did. And the good news is that we have lots of oil. That, did you see all that oil coming up out of that little 7-inch hole in the ground? Can you imagine how much oil is there? We're rich! Yes. And you know what? We're going to give the money to the people. We're not keeping it in war chests and paying MSNBC to knock this country with big advertising money. MSNBC is fired. CNN is fired. The New York Times is closed under the Sedition Act. I'm the President of the United States. I am charged with one supreme duty, to protect the people of the United States, and I'm not going to allow you to read that trash anymore. Okay, now, we have a question of 1,300 attorney generals who are supposed to resign today, and I'll be appointing Catholic cardinals to their jobs. And the good news is the cardinals are going to be allowed to keep their baseball uniforms. Every vet will have an ambassadorship to some country. And the only qualifications are you have to be a wounded veteran. And then you can be ambassador to any country you want. We're increasing the military death benefit to $2 million per loss of a great American. And $1 million for any major combat wound. Two legs, $2 million. Two eyes, $2 million. At least when you show your children your bank book in Braille, you'll be able to say, son, I served my country and my country served me. They watched my back while I gave my life and limb. And I'll be going to Arlington Cemetery once a week. And Chicago is closed. And California has to uncap all the oil wells and pay all the money back to all the states they've been robbing for years. And I will have the American Academy Awards. And I can tell you right now, there's only one winner, and that's Mel Gibson. And that's when you watch the media, you know, when they pack your lunch in a package. They take your they subsidize Six Sex and films that would never sell, and now you've got to pay for them under the new communist regime. That's all gone. That's over with. You get now a single line vote on your media bill, on your cable bill. If you don't want Sex in the City, you don't have to pay for it. It won't be subsidized by you. Your money goes to where you want it to go. Schools? You want parochial schools? You keep the tax money. You pay your kids' tuition. This is a new program. Everybody's going to like it. And Mayor Bloomingdale is fired. I am replacing Mayor Bloomingdale with Mother Roberta. And Mayor Bloomingdale is out. He let St. Vincent's close. Those people that are down there in Chelsea, if they have a heart attack, they're going to die. They got nowhere to go. And Bloomingdale's responsible. But he built a mosque. He is the he is now the imam of New York City. And that's why he has to leave. He's the head mucky muck. And anybody who can buy the city council and buy community board won, and owns them lock, stock, and barrel, and gives himself 3 terms, is a 3-term loser, and he has to go. Get on your little bicycle and pedal out of town, Bloomy. You're fired. Eric Holder, he's in Gitmo right now. He's under arrest. Ask me anything. Small farmer, you're back in business, buddy. Whatever you need, you call me tomorrow morning. We'll work it out. Small business, you're back in business, buddy. I want to see industry. I want to see smokestacks again. I want to see coal. I love coal. The Sierra Club will be confined to the Sierras. The ACLU will all be in Gitmo by Wednesday. The Communist Council of Churches has to move back to Cuba and to be with their Pope Fidel Castro. The Southern Poverty Law Center will be stripped of all its earnings. And that will give meaning to the truth. The Southern Poverty Law Center. Hollywood is closed, and we're banning the movie Saving Private Spielberg. Sean Phnom Penh has to marry Cindy Sheehan, and both have to register as agents of a foreign country. Donald Trump has to give free room and board to the 10th Mountain Division for the Memorial Day weekend. Party on, boys! We're giving the keys of New York City to the 10th Mountain Division and any man in military uniform. If you're wearing the uniform of the military of the United States, the drinks are on New York. You don't have to pay for anything. Cab rides are free. Broadway shows will be forced to remain open to accommodate veterans and their wives. And they will be the only ones invited to the American Academy Awards, where Mel Gibson wins everything. And you can only approach the red carpet in a military vehicle. I want to see helicopters, Humvees, and golden parachutists. And the proceeds of all Bleeding Heart rock concerts will go to fighting marijuana and burning the crops. All politicians have to take a lie detector test and a drug test. Every woman must have 5 children. And the penalty for divorce is death. Any married man found at a laptop bar will have his laptop removed. Any pet lover caught walking their dog on another man's property will immediately have 18 tons of manure drop-shipped to their front lawn. Anybody holding 2 passports has to turn in their American one and go back to the other passport country. Except Irish nuns from Wexford. All women have to take a weapons familiarization course and join the NRA. This way you won't have to dial 911. You can shoot a Mach 7. Anybody who was married at an Elvis Presley chapel in Las Vegas, that marriage is declared null and void, and you have to turn in your electric guitar. All electric guitars have to be registered with the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Folk singers must wash before services. Anybody wearing a beard has to declare whether or not they're Iranian. If you're Mexican and you snuck across the border, you have to sneak on back. We won't look. Chuck Schumer has to explain why he pulled the card of an Ohio senatorial candidate. And he has to deny that the reason he pulled it was the guy was an Iraq war veteran. You don't know that story. You better start Googling to find out what's happened to your country. Rod Blagojevich has to be legally divorced before he can marry Princess Fergie. Barbara Streisand has to sing People Who Need People on the bow of a nuclear submarine. 60 fathoms deep. Michael Moore has to go back to the Pribilof Islands so he can prepare his winter coat. New York City taxicab drivers are authorized not to stop for Danny Glover because everybody knows he's a lousy tipper. Anthony Weiner can only work in rodent killer commercials. Chuck Schumer is not allowed to ride the New York subway after eating a can full of Bush baked beans. The Pentagon has to take down the sign, "This building protected by ADT. Admiral Lemon has to watch 180 World War II movies. Secretary Gates will be replaced by a drunk with a bad temper. Donald Rumsfeld will play the role that was played by, the movie was Paul Newman in the movie Hombre. Fantastic. I call him the Rumsfeld Marshal. He shall have the title, the Rumsfeld Marshal. He was a pitcher who went seven innings, and he served his country masterfully, and he was attacked by the communists. Oh, and the New York Times, the building will be turned into a hospital for the aged, and we'll take care of gray-haired ladies. Community Board 1 will have their condos and homes seized under eminent domain, and they will be relocated to Canarsie. And they can only meet at the Rianute Social Club. Chris Matthews, a Rasbanjani, will have two pit bulls attached to his leg at all times. Keith Doberman has to wear a Carmen Miranda hat and earrings doing broadcasts, especially in his farewell address as Marine Killing NBC closes. Jeffrey Immelt will be relieved of his duties as president of GE, and he will be reassigned to the USO, where he will entertain the troops as a woman. Paul Begala and Larry O'Donnell will be removed from their present status. They will be sent to a sword maker to have scabbards made for their tongues. That communist witch show, The View, will be renamed The Puke, and it will be mandatory for people with seasickness to watch it. Joy Behar will be commanded to play the role of Gunga Din in The Lives of the Bengal Lancers, the remake. Whoopi Goldberg will have to give up her stage name and go back to her real name, Poopy Goldfarb. Any senator who votes to kill kids and votes to burn the American flag must resign without pay immediately. That's 48 senators, and I have a whole list of names, which Joe McCarthy will read to you. 135 Viet Congress mice also will suffer the same fate. Those who kill kids, especially, and those who vote to burn the flag. Joe McCarthy will read that list also. In addition to the American Academy Awards, we will also have the Ethel and Julius Awards with an oak leaf cluster for CBS for its betrayal of American troops in the field, and saying, we don't care, we're in charge, we can do anything we want. And if you're a comedian and you attack anybody, religiously or politically, using the shield of comedy, that shield is now removed, and you must face your attackees, who will be given first punches. Right of first punch. And the budget will be balanced next week, right after we auction off all of the second homes of the House and the Senate, and seize the war chests that never go to war. Bartender, champagne.